WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump today fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics after disappointing jobs numbers, accusing Commissioner Erica McIntyre of faking statistics to support Democrats.
She came out with these beautiful numbers trying to get somebody else elected. Then right after the election, I think on the 15th, November 15th, she had an $800,000 or $900,000 massive reduction. Said she made a mistake.
May and June combined showing 258,000 fewer jobs than previously reported. President Trump posted on social media today that he ordered two U.S. submarines to be positioned off Russia in response to what he called highly provocative statements made by Russian official Dmitry Medvedev. Police in western Montana searching for 45-year-old Michael Brown wanted in a shooting at a local bar that left at least four people dead. And a $15,000 reward for information leading to the capture of Austin Robert Drummond, the suspect in the deaths of four people in Lake County, Tennessee. This is ABC News. Smoke from Canada wildfires has moved into the nation's midsection. The hazy skies will be the backdrop for Chicago's annual music festival.
Lollapalooza, Chicago's annual three-day music festival beside Lake Michigan and Grant Park, kicking off on Friday with a lot of excited fans.
I've done like Coachella, Made in America, Rolling Loud, all that, but Lolla has been on the bucket list.
But Lolla comes with a warning this year. With more than 650 wildfires burning across Canada, smoke has been drifting south, creating a haze covering the Chicago skyline. The EPA has listed an air quality alert for Chicago, urging those with respiratory issues and kids with asthma to stay inside. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Corporation for Public Broadcasting announced today that it's taking steps to shut down. The agency was defunded by Congress a few weeks ago, and no future funding is earmarked. The closure affects local public radio and TV stations in rural areas across the country who will have to cope with less funding. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers traded for outfielder Brandon Lockridge from the Padres just before the trade deadline yesterday. Tonight, the 28-year-old is starting in right field and batting in the leadoff spot. As the Brewers play the Nationals in Washington, D.C., Jackson Churio has gone on the IL, dealing with a hamstring injury. At 64 wins and 44 losses, Milwaukee heads into the weekend in first place in the NL Central and the best record in baseball. NFL, Packers training camp, padded practice today. Tomorrow night, it's family night. Tucker Kraft.
All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me. So fireworks show is awesome too.
That's the Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When it comes to TV or movies, there is nothing like momentum. The Gilded Age is currently in its third season, and all arrows are pointing up. The show is tracking 25% more than its previous season and still has two episodes left of season three. HBO has already renewed the show for a fourth season. Social media chatter is up 60%, and Rotten Tomatoes has season three at 95% fresh. If all that weren't enough, last week's episode reached a series high in viewers at 4.5 million in the first 3 days of release. Looks like we have no excuse now not to check it out. If you're a fan of the show Luther with Idris Elba or the original version of The Office with Ricky Gervais, you'll have another option for viewing. viewing. HBO and BritBox, which specializes in UK mysteries, comedies, and dramas, have struck a deal where HBO will stream 15 BritBox shows during the months of August and September. The goal of both companies? Get so many viewers they can charge as much as Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, some areas of smoke and lows in the mid-50s. Hazy sunshine from smoke again tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. And mostly sunny and into the upper 70s on Sunday. Some storms Sunday night and Monday. Currently it's 72 degrees.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins the show to talk about the launch of her campaign for governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, penny cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, it's a Friday, and we get to hang out with our friendly state senator of the great state of Minnesota, State Senator Mary Kunish. Big Peeny Gigi, thank you for coming on, as always, and having a positive spin on everything. I really appreciate this. It's a good way to end the week. Thank you so much for being on.
Well, Pulatanka for having me here. Mataki ape, everybody.
Yeah, so it's great to have you on. A lot going on, as usual, but I always like to try and start out and ask you what you've been doing this past week, and you can let all your constituents, and it's always kind of the day in the life of a state senator. So thanks again for being on, and what have you been up to?
Well, first and foremost, helping out with my two new grandbabies, my little grandsons. They finally have names, Oscar and Issa.
Nice.
And I think you heard one of my granddaughters say, "Oh, we call him Ozzy." They were born on the day that Ozzy Osbourne passed away.
Oh, come on.
So a little nod at Ozzy. I hope they have some of Ozzy Osbourne's unique entertaining personality, but you know, they're little guys, and so feeding every 3 hours. I've been going over there in the evenings to help get through the nights so that one or the other can get some rest. But I was actually gone for 5 days to Saskatoon up in Saskatchewan. I don't know if you've ever been there.
No.
It is the easiest little flight, hardly 2 hours. It's not very expensive to fly up there, and it is a lovely, lovely city. It's right on the river, the south, I think it's Saskatoon River, and it feels like home. It really does feel like, you know, and really and truly, it's just an extension of the prairie of the Minnesota, prairie lands and woodland lands. Mm-hmm. So it felt a lot like home. I got to go out and tour a mine, potash mine. I don't know if you know anything about potash. I didn't know much about that at all, but it is a mineral that is the main ingredient of fertilizer in agriculture.
Wow.
And right now this mine or Saskatoon, which has a huge deposit of this, it provides like 90%, 95% of the potash for the Midwest farmers for their fertilizer. So you can imagine that the agriculture world is very, very nervous about these tariffs coming down. I mean, our farmers, our agriculture community is already suffering from the price hikes, lack of labor because of all the migrant workers that used to travel around and help do the harvest and all the other work that have now disappeared. And if there is any kind of a tariff that gets attached to this, those farmers are going to be in a huge hurt. But anyways, we went out. It was less than an hour drive from Saskatoon. They took us down in an elevator, 3,500 feet.
What?
And then, yeah. And then we drove into the earth for about 25 minutes on these carts, kind of like big golf carts, and it was dark. I was very nervous. I just didn't even know what to expect, but very cavernous. It was dry down there, so that was good. And because we were in an open vehicle, it was breezy while we were driving. And yeah, it was pretty fascinating to see what they're doing and listen and hear how much of the world is dependent on that potash that comes out of Saskatchewan. So
crazy.
That was great. Yeah. Yeah. It was a conference for the Midwest legislators. So 11 of our Midwest states, those legislators participated. It's nonpartisan. So we had, you know, Republicans and Democrats, lots of folks from Minnesota went. And then we have three of the provinces up in Canada that their premiers and elected officials participated. So it was really great.
Wow, that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit, just to back up. I want to just remind everyone, when it comes to these tariffs, you know, Trump acts like, what was it, China that went to 15% and that it was a big victory, but it used to be 0%. So, you know, again, it's going to hit the consumer big time and you know, it's going to slow things down, like you said. So that's, we always have to talk about that, remind people of, you know, it's never a victory when Trump's starting at 100% when it really is 0%.
Yeah, that is true. And so this conference with all these legislators, we had a lot of different speakers come in, experts on both sides of the issues. So there's some sides that I was like, that's what they were spewing was not correct. It was misinformation.
Exactly.
That we've heard for a long time, especially around climate justice and climate change. But the one thing that we heard from the former prime minister of Canada, mm-hmm. is that Canada is working very hard at minimizing any kind of their dependence on the United States.
Huh.
So, yeah. So any of the goodwill work that we used to do or in partnership or support, I think that Canadians are very much not interested in partnering with Minnesota or with the United States much anymore. And there are a lot of folks that are sad that they're not coming down to the United States for
right.
their vacations or shopping trips or whatnot. There are a lot of them that, you know, are proud that they're not stocking any of our liquor and booze and
yeah.
a lot of our products up there. But, you know, these are people that say, you know, if I were a U.S. citizen, I would have voted for him. But now that he's done this,
right.
we don't get it. We just don't get it.
Well, it's interesting, too. For years, the Toronto Blue Jays, whenever they'd play in Minnesota, especially at the Dome, they'd get thousands of people come down just to see the baseball game, and not anymore.
No, it was so crazy because I can't even tell you how many Canadians said, oh, I love Minnesota. We come down, we're big Twins fans or we're big Vikings fans, but we're not going to be there for a while. Yeah. But next year, this conference happens every summer. Next year, we're hosting it here in Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah, in St. Paul. And I got them to do it over the state fair time. So we should have a lot of folks coming in. And we plan to get them over to the state fair to see our great state fair. But and a lot of them said, we'll come. We'll come for the conference. And so I'm really hoping that they will. It's interesting to see that viewpoint of those that were pro-America before now have a lot of issues.
Exactly. Well, have them stop by Native Roots Trading Post next year and get all their paraphernalia there and bring back. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're catching up here on a Friday. This is always a great time with her. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with it's Native Roots Radio, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish. And State Senator, we had to take a break, and I'm wondering if there was more to report up. It sounds like an exciting trip, and like you said, it was an easy flight up there, but it's also people really talking about sad things that we talk about here of not going crossing the border, you know, and
It is sad that, you know, those kind of relationships have been broken and maybe permanently broken. But, you know, what was really interesting is to recognize the commonality of the issues that, that they have up there that are so similar to ours. There is a strong Indigenous community and a strong presence there. Mm-hmm. Along the river, they have a couple of beautiful, like huge sculptures that share the information about the Indigenous people around their treaties and the boarding school. We saw a lot of information or a lot of signage about MMIW. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was really the Canadians that led in, you know, trying to understand this whole trauma around MMIW. And it was an initial preliminary report from Canada that I listened through the CDC about what they were doing to address MMIW that spurred me to create that task force. And so I was able to speak with a couple of their Indigenous people about the work that they're doing up there. And I told them about what we, you know, we have this permanent office, we have the license plate, we have the reward program. They were very impressed. There's also a legislator from Wisconsin, and they are trying to do similar things like that as well in Wisconsin. So it, you know, I'm really proud that we kind of lead the way when it comes to addressing these sort of issues in Indian country. One of the gentlemen that I got to meet and speak with is the president of the Métis Nation. Up in Saskatchewan. His name is Glenn McCollum. What a really nice gentleman.
Cool.
And he is very, he is very focused in making sure that their community is a healthy healthy community. He's very big on making sure that they have the ability to self-govern and especially rooted in their Métis culture, which is really, really unique. And, you know, I hope to get up there and meet with them again. They apparently they have a really great fall festival. And so I thought, well, actually, President McCollum did invite me to go up there. So I hope he extends that that invitation again, because, as I said, it's just a hop, skip and a jump to get up there. And it's just really rewarding and pleasing for me to see that the work that we're doing down here complements and kind of works in conjunction with the work that they're doing around Indigenous issues as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember, too, that they were kind of the first, meaning Canada, when they were talking about the boarding school and finding all the bodies outside, buried outside their boarding schools.
Yeah.
And that kind of blew up all over both nations.
It did. Again, you know, and I'm interested to see what it was about Canada that, you know, really compelled them to address these issues before anybody else. And when you look at the documentaries, at, you know, movies about this whole situation, it's Canada that has led on all of that. And we just sort of end up on the shirt tails of them. But again, the folks that I spoke with and that I met with, you know, I said, let's work on these things together, because those are our relatives. You know, those are our Dakota, our Dakota, our Lakota, our Anishinaabe relatives are their relatives as well. And so, when it comes down to those sort of things, I think it's really important that we don't have that nationalistic attitude, because we're all related, right?
And there was no borders
together.
No borders before. Hey, one of the things we talked about, I believe last week, about the big news about, you know, the reward and how that's going to be worked out. Maybe we can talk just a little bit about that again and remind some of our listeners, or maybe they didn't hear that show.
Yeah. So we finally were able to establish the reward program that's embedded within the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office. It's a piece of legislation that that Representative Koslowski and I passed 2 years ago. And it's taken us this long to finally establish that that account. You know, government is not always quick.
Right.
And the bureaucracy and making sure that we're doing it right took us about this long to do it. But the fund was established when we passed the legislation. So we were able to put $250,000 into that account. And then due to the license plate that we created, the MMIR license plate, those dollars also go to that office and into that reward fund. We're expecting that there will be expenses when more of these cases, hopefully we will get more and more clues. We will get more and more tips from people. They will be rewarded through this account for that information. And then, you know, they'll start to piece together some of these long-term confusing cases.
Right.
And, you know, we now have a new director at the office. Juliet Rudy was our original director, and she got things set up. She established an incredible team there. And thank you to Anna Negrete, who has been there for a while and acted as the director until our new director, Guadalupe Lopez. Congratulations, yeah. Guadalupe. I know that you have committed your life and your career to addressing violence in Indian country. So we're happy to see you in that place and leading the next chapter of all of this. There's still a lot of work to do in that office. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to be able to access data. We need to be able to share data with different jurisdictions. There needs to be accountability within state, county, local police offices, because, you know, we heard very clearly that in some communities, you can go talk to the police or report things and they will respond appropriately, quickly, and accurately. Mm-hmm. In other places, that's not the case. And we knew that from the very start. That hasn't changed in a lot of ways, even though there are many communities and public service, police officers and departments that are looking to assist in these ways. So the office is just, you know, it's so new. There's no roadmap. Nobody's done this before. We're the ones that are doing all the creating and figuring out the problems and running into roadblock here and finding the next thing that we can do. But all we can, you know, the best we can do is continue to encourage them, create legislation that will support them. Support the people that are doing the work. There's a lot boots on the ground, nonprofit agencies, organizations, you know, women's resources, you know, violence against women, business or groups. So still lots of work to do, but we're getting there.
We're
leading the way. I mean, we have to be positive because we're leading the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I've really noticed that natives missing has not slowed down. It's almost picked up, it seems like, just from my Facebook feed and my social media feeds.
Yeah. And that, again, you know, you have to wonder what's going on, if it's picking up, if there's something happening out there that we are not aware of, or if there are really nefarious people or organizations out there that, you know, that are targeting Indigenous people. Those are the sort of things that I'm hoping we will be able to continue to work on and work with that MMIR office.
Yeah, definitely. What else has been going on? I know you're a part-time worker with a full-time schedule, and that sometimes has got to be hard. And being a former teacher, I just want to give a quick shout out, and I think we talked about this too, about Governor Evers last week, and you know, a shout out to a former teacher also that was governor of Wisconsin and that's not running again.
Yeah, we need more teachers in leadership positions. I'll say that much. I have had just the pleasure of serving as education finance chair in the Senate with Senator Swadzinski. He himself had been a teacher for...
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump today fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics after disappointing jobs numbers, accusing Commissioner Erica McIntyre of faking statistics to support Democrats.
She came out with these beautiful numbers trying to get somebody else elected. Then right after the election, I think on the 15th, November 15th, she had an $800,000 or $900,000 massive reduction. Said she made a mistake.
May and June combined showing 258,000 fewer jobs than previously reported. President Trump posted on social media today that he ordered two U.S. submarines to be positioned off Russia in response to what he called highly provocative statements made by Russian official Dmitry Medvedev. Police in western Montana searching for 45-year-old Michael Brown wanted in a shooting at a local bar that left at least four people dead. And a $15,000 reward for information leading to the capture of Austin Robert Drummond, the suspect in the deaths of four people in Lake County, Tennessee. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers traded for outfielder Brandon Lockridge from the Padres just before the trade deadline yesterday. Tonight, the 28-year-old is starting in right field and batting in the leadoff spot. As the Brewers play the Nationals in Washington, D.C., Jackson Churio has gone on the IL dealing with a hamstring injury. At 64 wins and 44 losses, Milwaukee heads into the weekend in first place in the NL Central and the best record in baseball. NFL, Packers training camp, padded practice today. Tomorrow night, it's family night. Tucker Kraft.
All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me. So fireworks show is awesome, too.
That's the Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pamela Anderson has been married five times. Once to Tommy Lee, once to Robbie Ritchie, also known as Kid Rock, twice to a professional poker player, and only one time to some guy named Dan. She must love marriage. One of the few men she did not marry was former Superman actor Dean Cain. Last week, Cain said he and Anderson's relationship fizzled for one reason. I know what you're thinking. It's because she was too busy getting married to other men. But no. But Cain says that's not why. He says things didn't last because he was never into life in the fast lane, and Anderson was. That, along with the fact that she got married every other week, was probably a hindrance. Cain did have a lot of good things to say about Anderson. Pamela Anderson has revived her career and has gotten serious about the craft of acting. She received rave reviews for Showgirl and currently stars in The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. They were, quote, caught, end quote, on the set of The Tonight Show, making out. Yes, the two are dating, unless they've already married by the time of this airing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, some areas of smoke and lows in the mid-50s. Hazy sunshine from smoke again tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. And mostly sunny and into the upper 70s on Sunday. Some storms Sunday night and Monday. Right now it's 70 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us to break down all the weekend news. We go beyond the cheese with Poppy Bakery. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hicha, wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. We are here with State Senator of the great state of Minnesota, Mary Kunish, and her grandchildren, which, you know, our little ones are seventh generation. They're sacred to us, and it's fun that you watch them. What? How often do you watch them? Is it twice a week?
Twice a week this summer. There's a lot going on, and so I said I would commit to two days a week, and then in the past it's been just one. But both of these girls are going to go to preschool in the fall.
Yay!
Yeah. So I don't know. I might not get them as much as I used to. That's the pain of them growing up, is that, you know, they grow up and then you don't get to hang out with them as much anymore, and I'll miss them. But they're growing up fast, and they're growing up good. Much strong.
Right on. Well, that's you know what I would like to do, and this will go quick. You know, you've been on the show, I bet you, at least 7 years.
Yeah.
It's radio. At least 7 or 8 years. We're in our ninth season.
Yeah.
And what I would like you to do is maybe just talk a little bit about how everything came together. I know the story, but when you first started running as a state representative, and why and how that happened, and maybe just a little history of you, state senator.
Oh, sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. So I just finished my fifth year in the Minnesota Senate, and I was in the House of Representatives 4 years before that. And prior to all of this, I was a teacher for 25 years. So I taught as a library media specialist in public schools here in the Twin Cities. And I think in part, the reason I decided to run for office is because I saw the real life struggles of the families that I was working with, or in the kids that I were teaching. So increase in homelessness and food insecurity, lack of resources for like clothing and things like that. And, you know, I always looked out for our Native kids. You know, I kind of looked through every year, figuring out who was, you know, I thought might be a Native kid, and if they were registered as such or not. And I think it's really important for parents to know, and I've said this many times, is that if there are more than 10 kids that identify as Native American in a school, not just a district, but a school, then they are obliged by law to create a parent advisory group, Native American parent advisory group. Mm-hmm. And that parent advisory group needs to work with the school to ensure that the kids are getting the resources they need to succeed. And not, you know, it's not just the math, reading, and, you know, and arithmetic kind of stuff, but also the cultural resources to retain their language, their culture, their dignity, their self-worth. And they're tasked to work with the school to ensure that those resources are there. And the state has provided money and support systems for that. So if you are a parent, please, you know, identify your student when they register for school, first of all, as a Native kid, because there's also federal dollars that come down that that provide a lot of extra support systems. And then that parent advisory group has to concur with the school that those resources are going in the right place the way that they want them to go. And if they're not, then they're supposed to make some really positive changes for sure. So I, you know, I was really intent on making sure that those kids were getting what they needed and that the school was doing what they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really my daughter who started working on a gubernatorial campaign that drew me into understanding what it takes to be an elected official. And every campaign needs volunteers.
Right.
So I started, you know, helping with door knocking, letter writing, phone banking. I got to know who's who and what's what, and more involved in my own local Senate district. And so when my state rep decided to, my senator decided to retire, my state rep ran for her seat, and they me to run for that state rep seat, and I did. And I think when I look back on the last 9 years at the legislature, the kind of work and the kind of resources that we were able to bring to our communities, our Native communities, has been fantastic. I mean, we have the MMIR office. We created permanent funding for Indian education for all. We enforced ICWA, which Minnesota, we have MIFBA, Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. One of my proudest things is the return of the Lower Sioux State Park to the community. Or Upper Sioux, I'm sorry. And, you know, that was an important one. We've gotten parcels of land returned to the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. Just a lot of really good things, especially when you look at how they affect children and families and resources. You know, there's not an area we haven't touched. Healthcare.
Mascots,
you know, allowing, I mean, something as simple as allowing kids to wear their tobacco bags, you know, we had to legislate to ensure that that was going to be able to happen. And so, you know, when we talk about representation matters, it really, really, really does. And I get really nervous because I'm the first Native woman to serve in the Minnesota Senate. We do have another Native gentleman in the Senate, but we don't always see providing resources to the Indigenous community in the same way. And I rarely find any kind of support from that gentleman. I'm the only one there doing this work. And so I always say, I need help. I really need more people to step up. And it's not easy. It's not easy to run a campaign. It's not easy to be elected and then do this work. I'm not going to lie, but it's really rewarding.
Yeah.
And I'm always learning. You know, I'm a very curious person. I really think that, you know, I'm a lifelong learner.
Right.
I'm the first person to recognize that I don't know everything. I know a lot about I know a little about a lot.
Me too.
But sometimes all those little pieces are what puts it together when we're trying to do legislation or create resources that are going to help. Because I'm a firm believer that when our tribes and our urban communities or any community of Native folks, when they're doing better, everyone around them does better too. And we've seen the fallout from generations of lack of investment and neglect and, you know, downright, you know, prejudice. We need to get things done and, you know, please come help me, come help at any level, school board, city council, anything.
Well, and with you and then the former lawmakers too, Alan, and we have, you know,
Susan Allen. Yep. She was the first Native woman to be elected to the legislature. Yep.
Yeah. And but things have happened here. I know I have done a lot of government stuff in Wisconsin, and we are grateful because of the representation that we've had here with you and a few other people that we have on the show and talk to that it's night or day what's happening here in Minnesota. So just a big peeny geeky thank you for what you do, because it's a big difference, and we're kind of the beacon on many things across Turtle Island that we're getting done here native wise.
Yeah, sometimes I recognize that we are in a really unique situation, because I get frustrated, I get impatient. Why isn't this happening? Snap, snap, snap. And then I talk to other legislators who aren't able to get anything done. Nothing. Okay. And they're like, how did you do that? Will you tell us how you did it? How can we do that too? Will you come testify like in Wisconsin? And she'd like me to come over and work with them. And I'm happy to do that. Mm-hmm. But I have to also recognize that Minnesota is unique in the fact that we have been so successful. I don't know that that's the case in any other state in the United States.
Right.
And, we get a little, like I said, spoiled, mm-hmm. a little insulated, and don't recognize the strife that's going on outside of our world, because we're like, we did it. We did the good work. Now let's find the next one to do. And people are still struggling with it. Yeah.
Well, I know one of the coolest things that's happening that hasn't happened anywhere else is too that the BIPOC groups are first come, first serve when it comes to the cannabis that's legalizing. Mm-hmm. And that's huge, because other states, you know, talk about trickle down, you know, we'll get it to them. And now this the tribes here can be proactive because of the laws that mm-hmm. you guys passed.
Yep. I mean, that was really intentional. That was a plan to ensure that our Indigenous communities and the communities that have always been left out of these kind of opportunities to build economic security and bring resources into their own community. You know, they always talk about pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but when you are an individual or you are a group of people that have been historically, generationally, and then very intentionally left out of these opportunities, this was an opportunity for those communities to have the first cut at being able to do the good work.
Well, thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, for being on, and we really appreciate you and your grandchildren sharing you with us on this day, and have a great week, and thank you again for all you do and being on our show every week.
Sure thing. Talk chai, everyone.
Hey, right on. This is Native Roots Radio. Up next to Wendy with her sacred animal portion. This is Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, The market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No.
Oh, no.
Hey, that's a good one. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she's a co-founder of Native Roots Radio, which we've been getting Native our relatives' updates here for over 9 years, Wendy.
Woo! Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And we work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So I was out shopping. I was out shopping a couple of weeks ago.
What?
Yeah. And I went to this little tchotchke store.
What does that mean?
Tchotchke. Tchotchke is a slang word. I think it's Yiddish. Tchotchke. It means like little things or novelty items. So it's like little tchotchke things, like little knickknacks,
yeah,
really.
Knickknacks, yeah.
But anyway, I went on Grand Avenue here in St. Paul to a place called Good Things. That's the name of the store. It's called Good Things, and it has a lot of things. It has like women's clothes in it. It has like jewelry. It's household items, but like nice things that you would go into that store to buy a gift for somebody. They have cards and stuff. But Robert, I found this really cute. Excuse me, I just have to clear my throat. A really cute little bracelet. Now, I was shopping for little birthday gifts for our daughters. Uh-huh. You know, usually give them some money, but I like to pick them up a little something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw this cute thing. It was a bracelet with a little giraffe on it. But not only that, but they had all different kinds of these little bracelets. They kind of like stretch onto your wrist. They're kind of made of beads, and then they have like a little animal on it. So mine was, I picked the giraffe because I like giraffes.
Aww.
Yeah, but they have all kinds of little animals. And the weird and the fun thing about this, I'm going to give you the name of it. It's called Fallow, F-A-H-L-O.
Hmm.
That's the company that makes these bracelets. Mm-hmm. But each bracelet tracks the animal that's on the bracelet.
Wow.
Yeah. So you open up the paper after you buy the bracelet. It was really inexpensive too. The bracelet was like $16.95, right?
Wow.
For a really cute little bracelet. And then you open up the little packet and it gives you a QR code to scan.
Mm-hmm.
Now you download the free app and I get to track my specific giraffe.
Hmm.
So I'm online right now tracking my giraffe. My giraffe has a name.
Oh.
Yes, my giraffe's name is Fawzio, F-A-W-S-I-O, and it's a Somalian name meaning survivor.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, these animals are tagged,
mm-hmm,
and then they're tracked for conservation. Right. Oh. So we're watching for environmental changes, habitat changes. They're watching for poachers. Right.
Good.
And really watching this animal, and they can track it. So I go online and I'm looking at my giraffe, my specific giraffe,
mm-hmm,
called Fawzio, F-O-W-S-I-O. Yeah. Anyway, he's in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So on the east coast of Africa, near Kenya, and I could see the satellite view of exactly where this animal is right now. And then as you zoom in, it tracks the animal and tells you like how far it went, where is it going, you know, all these things. It's like so interesting.
That's crazy.
Now, I believe that you can go on and get this app for free. Again, the app is called Follow, F-A-H-L-O, F like Frank, A-H-L-O. And you go on, and I believe I just did this a little while ago, but I think that you could go on and track an animal that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
See, now it says I could track another animal. I could track another giraffe if I want, but I think I'd have to like pay a little bit of money for that.
Huh.
But I just think it's like so interesting. And I was reading about it a little bit, and they said that the tracking is delayed. So like when I went on tonight, it said the last time it saw my giraffe was on July 13th.
Hmm.
Right? Today's the 17th. And you know why they do that?
Why? Oh, I do know. Go ahead.
Why? Go ahead. Tell me what you think.
So poachers can't track them.
That's right. So poachers can't track the animal. You're absolutely right. Or if there's somebody who's a poacher, right? And they go on to find this app, they can get the other, you know, they could find the giraffe. Isn't that unbelievable? So yeah, it's delayed like 3 days.
That's cool.
Yeah. So then they say most of these trackers last for 2 to 3 years, right? If the animal, something happens to the animal dies, they'll give you another animal to track.
With the same purchase?
Yeah.
Wow.
With the same purchase. Yeah.
Wow.
And then usually if you don't see anything for about 3 months, it usually means something could have happened to the device that's on the animal.
Okay.
Right.
It fell off
or something. Or sometimes these animals go into such remote areas of the jungle that the satellite can't even find them. So sometimes, you know, if you go on in a daily basis, you could see where the animal is, but the animal, you know, 3 days ago might have been in a really remote place and the satellite couldn't, you know, find it.
Wow.
But it's what is this? $17, $16.95. It's a really cute little gift. I can't remember what animal I got Jelaine. Do you remember what animal I got her?
No, but she said
I remember what I got her. And I know why I got it for her. It just came to me. I'm such an idiot. I got her a turtle, a sea turtle. Because I remember when her and her husband went to, I can't remember where they went, in the Caribbean somewhere.
Isn't that our son-in-law?
Our son-in-law. Yeah. Who did I say?
You said her husband.
Yeah. Our son-in-law. Oh my God. Anyway, they went somewhere, and she said the favorite part of her trip was they went to see the release of all these baby turtles and these turtles that were in a rehabilitation
place.
Right. So she said, I just love seeing the turtles, and you know, we watched them, and they, you know, went down the beach, and there were all these people on each side of the turtles making sure they got into the water safely.
Cool.
So I got her a turtle bracelet.
Nice.
I'll have to ask her tomorrow when I see her if she, you know, got the barcode and scanned it and stuff. And it's really easy. I mean, anybody could do it. But they had like a sloth, they had a tiger, they have like all kinds of animals.
Which one would you pick for me?
Oh, what would I pick for you? Oh my gosh. What
the
kind of
sloth?
The sloth. Because she's slow.
What?
It's an inside joke with Robert and I, you know, because I'm from New York, so everything happens fast and we're loud and it's a lot. And then when I met Robert, you know, he was like so calm and peaceful and
slow.
So I remember my mom was asking me, well, tell me about him. So I was like, you know, well, he's the St. Paul guy. He's like really nice and he's kind and he's slow. And I said, you know, he's just sounding kind of like slow. So anyway, maybe I would get you a sloth, but they had all kinds of animals. And I just think it's like a really fun thing. I mean, it's a fun thing for even kids, you know. Yeah. Maybe I should get one for Renzo and Olivia. They would probably like it.
I think it would be cool if Native Roots Trading Post could hook up with an organization like this. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could look this up and see if there's anything like we could reach them.
Yeah.
Or look them
or
up.
Or start our own.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner Kaylin Bavink joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Two manhunts in two states for two suspected murderers.
In Northwest Tennessee, officials offering a $15,000 reward as they search for 28-year-old Austin Robert Drummond, saying he murdered a family of four and then kidnapped and abandoned their infant. They say Drummond was last spotted 80 miles south in Jackson, and they've recovered his white Audi. They're urging residents to stay alert.
ABC's Trevor Ault and an urgent manhunt for an active shooter who authorities say killed four people in a western Montana bar. Law enforcement says Michael Paul Brown is believed to be armed and dangerous. President Trump today fired the economist responsible for government statistics on the job market after a disappointing jobs report. Jeffrey Epstein's convicted co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell has been moved. Previously incarcerated at the federal prison in Florida, Maxwell transferred in recent days to a lower security facility in Texas. This is ABC News.